Telegram, April 14, 1865. President Lincoln, in the face of a treacherous and dangerous enemy, please do not expose the nation to the consequences of any disaster to yourself. I implore you to exercise caution. Edwin M. Stanton, Secretary of War.
Evening, Mars.
President Lincoln.
How's your health?
Well enough, sir.
Glad to hear. Did you know Major Eckert could bend an iron poker?
Pardon me, sir, but why would you ask such a question?
I have seen the man bend five iron pokers, one right after the other, right over his arm.
What is this, sir?
The order you issued, Mars. You don't want me leaving the White House without a security detail.
Well, now, sir, if I may...
You're right.
Sir?
It's your custom from time to time, being right. Imprudence is unbecoming of a president.
Then you have decided not to attend the Ford this evening.
No. Problem is, I already have my tickets. Plus, I think it'll do the people some good to see me out in public, enjoying myself. Given General Grant can no longer attend, I should still like a competent guard by my side, and since he can bend an iron poker over his arm, I thought Major Eckert would be the man.
What is this?
An order of my own, for Major Eckert.
You know where to find the Major. Why not deliver it yourself?
Chain of command.
The Major is occupied this evening, sir, along with the rest of my department. We haven't a man to spare.
Oh, not one?
Mr. President, as you know, tonight General Sherman will be advancing on one of the last remaining rebel strongholds. Major Eckert will be passing along important dispatches to and from the front between multiple regiments all across the Mason-Dixon. We have a perimeter to defend. A curfew to enforce. Thousands of seditious prisoners under our watch here in the city.
Mars.
My men do not have time to go to the theater. My answer is no.
No? Well, I suppose if anyone wants to do me harm, they'll just have to go through Mrs. Lincoln first.
Mr. President, my health is failing me. Ellen has implored me repeatedly to take a step. The day after Richmond fell, when I handed you my resignation, you asked me to remain by your side till the job of reconstruction was done. And despite Ellen's wishes, I obliged you.
I thank you for it. I cannot do this without you.
Nor I you, in the face of a dangerous enemy.
The war's over, Mars.
With respect, sir, it is not. Please do not expose the nation to the consequences of any disaster to yourself.
No. I promise the First Lady.
Sir, what about my order? You have no military escort. You must remain at home.
Mars, sometimes with rules, as you know, one must, do like the Major does with his iron pokers, I suppose. Good night, Mars.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. RocketMoney.com/Wondery.
1865 is supported by you. Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, executive producer of 1865. I'd like to ask you a favor. If you're enjoying 1865, consider supporting it with a $5 monthly pledge. If you'll join us at 1865podcast.com, you'll get the entire original series, bingeable right now, as it appeared on Stitcher Premium last year, completely ad-free. You'll also get early access to episodes of the new rewritten and reworked series. That's the one you're listening to right now, also ad-free. And in addition to that, supporters get transcripts annotated by the writers with more fascinating historical detail, a free copy of the original score to 1865, and special bonus segments that dive deep into our characters' history and motivations in their own words as read by the cast. But I hope the best perk of becoming a supporter of the show is that you will be helping us create the next chapter in our audio storytelling. There are so many stories to tell, from 1765 to 2065, and your support is critical to our success. So please, go to 1865podcast.com and become a patron. Help us continue our work bringing history alive by going to 1865podcast.com.
Secretary Stanton, given that General Grant is unable to attend the performance of Our American Cousin this evening, I shall require additional security to accompany my party to the
fort. That's enough!
I cordially request the services of Major Thomas Eckert. Sincerest regards, President
Lee. I said that's enough!
Are you going to explain yourself?
No one can know about this, Major. No one. Not now, not ever. Now hand me that order.
I will not.
Are you openly defying me now?
Why didn't you grant the request? I demand to know.
Yours is not to make demands of me, son.
You knew he was in danger.
Yes.
You knew there were rebel agents in the capital.
Of course I knew. Everyone knew.
Then why didn't you send me?
Because he doesn't listen. He never listened. He took the air nightly. Do you know that alone? Strolling about the streets of the capital in the wee hours of the morning. It's a wonder they didn't get to him sooner. I didn't send you because he had no business being in a place like that. Because he is the president. Because I hope fear might persuade him to better judgment.
I would have been there, sir. I could have done something.
If it is the will of Providence I die by the hand of an assassin, it must be so. His words. I begged him not to go. Refused me, so I refused him.
You have to come forward.
I am not responsible for a man with a death wish getting what he wanted.
If you won't, I will.
You would betray me.
I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to keep you out of shackles. If you come forward now, you can claim negligence.
And then what? Resign?
Better resignation than the Montauk prison ship. People deserve to know the truth, sir.
Do you know why I have this office, Major, while you're standing here today as my second-in-command?
Secretary Seward recommended you to
President Lincoln. Yes, that's a story, but it's not the truth. The truth is President Lincoln ordered my predecessor, Mr. Cameron, to prepare a comprehensive military report for Congress. Cameron front-loaded that report with a recommendation to arm captured slaves. Lincoln knew it would ruffle too many feathers, so he struck any mention of arming slaves before sending it to Congress. But the original report still found its way to the press, unedited. Mr. Lincoln was furious, and Mr. Cameron found himself in early retirement. But the truth is, I forced that little tidbit into the plan in the first place, and when Lincoln pushed back, I ran the article in the paper. Cameron, he fell on the sword, but I received a promotion. And we used those Negro slaves to put those rebels on their damn backs. Sometimes, Major Eckert, the truth doesn't matter at all.
I won't help you cover this up.
With Lincoln gone, who will hold the South accountable? Andrew Johnson? The cowards in the Senate or the sectarian bigots of the court? There is no one left, Major, only this office and those who command it.
No one else knows about this?
Only Secretary Seward.
How?
After I left the office that night before the attack, I dropped in on him. I needed to vent my frustrations.
Can he be trusted?
Seward's an ally. He'll stand with me.
If you do this, sir, if we do this, we're vulnerable. You better be absolutely certain that you trust Seward, because if he survives, he can implicate us both.
I trust him. Same as I trust you. Do you trust me?
Yes.
Then hand me that order.
Have you seen this, gentlemen? From the New York Daily Tribune, quote, "The Southern Rebellion is dead, as is the spirit of the white man in the South. Not since the capture of Jerusalem by Titus has there been such utter ruin. The planting season is swiftly passing unimproved, leaving large sections of the country exposed next winter to the horrors of actual famine. The farmers will not plant, sir. They're afraid their lands will be taken from them by the Bureau."
This is a mess.
And the freedmen won't go near a plantation for fear of re-enslavement.
A goddamn mess. We gotta get this damn thing nipped in the bud, and fast.
Mr. Langston's just returned from Virginia. I'll let him fill you in on the details.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Mr. President, famine is not our most pressing concern.
What in the hell could be more pressing than famine?
Violence against the freedmen, sir. It's hell on the ground, Mr. President. Hell for the Union men trying to maintain order, and death to the Negro who dares step forward and demand his freedom. We have to do something, sir.
Mr. President, the people of the South need to know where they stand. Clarity will assuage these tensions. Grant the people general amnesty.
We've been down this road before, Wells. Those lands belong to the freedmen.
Those lands belong to the plantation owners in the South. Mr. Stanton's reconstruction plan is a recipe for one thing and one thing alone. More bloodshed. Let the Negro prove himself man by man and state by state.
Mr. President, if I may.
Go ahead, Mr. Langston.
The Negro has already proven himself, primarily on the field of battle, where he fought, bled, and died for American liberty. I recruited those men, hundreds of them, to fight in the war on a promise that on the other side, there would be justice.
First, we must have unity.
Without justice, there can be no unity. You're right about one thing, Mr. Wells. A disenfranchised populace is a recipe for bloodshed. Bear that in mind when you consider the future of the Negro people.
What about the poor whites?
Sir?
The poor whites in the South, where do they fit into all this? You see, folks, where I come from, in North Carolina and Tennessee, they don't own any land. They haven't oppressed anybody. Their homeland has been torn to pieces by this vile, disgusting war. Your family and friends coming home in pine boxes by the dozens. And for what? There's no 40 acres waiting for them. No mule, neither. Now, I'm sensitive to the Negro's struggle. I am. In fact, I don't think anyone is more sensitive to it than me. I just don't want us to forget about the poor whites in this conversation.
We haven't forgotten them, sir. The benefits of the Freedmen's Bureau are for all the people of the South, black and white. That includes schools, hospitals, food, clothing, and most importantly, land.
I wasn't aware of that.
Read your briefings, Mr. President. You'll learn all manner of things.
Well, surely the President can be forgiven for overlooking a memo, Mr. Stanton.
Heavy lies the head, Mr. Langston. Heavy lies the goddamn head indeed.
Sir, from what I understand, you're an admirer of President Jackson?
That's right. I got a picture of Old Hickory hanging on my wall at home, right above the fireplace. Best damn president this country's ever had, in my view. A true champion of the common man.
Though not the Indian.
Yes, well, that was a difficult time in our history, Mr. Langston.
And this isn't?
Did you know I have Indian blood in me, Mr. President?
Is that right?
Yes, my father was white, my mother was part Indian, part Negro.
So what does that make you?
Confused, sir.
Now that's a knee slapper.
Mr. President, hundreds of years from now, how do you think history will remember Andrew Jackson?
I suppose that's for them to decide.
Will he be viewed as the great father of the Democratic Party and the champion of the common man? Or the traitor who went back on every promise this country ever made to its indigenous people? Mr. President, I think you could be greater than Andrew Jackson ever was. You have an opportunity to succeed where Jackson failed. You can make good on this country's promise to the freedmen and provide for the common man down south. If you do that, sir, 100 years from today, it won't be President Jackson hanging above the fireplace of future presidents. It will be you.
Stanton?
Yes, sir?
Deploy more troops to the south immediately.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President!
I'll lean on the provisional governors down there. Make sure they're enforcing the law and supporting the Bureau.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Let's get those Negroes planting straight away. That'll be all, gentlemen.
Who's the doe-face now?
I suppose you're rubbing off on
me. Oh, you're thinking of growing a beard as well?
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Well done, Mr. Langston.
Stanton, wait.
What? What is it?
Don't make an enemy of him.
Mr. Langston?
He's the president. Whatever we hope to accomplish, whatever good we hope to do, it'll be decidedly more difficult if he stands against us. So heed your own advice. Swallow it down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
1865 is sponsored by Away. If you travel much, you know it's often the little things that make it easier. The tiny details, the thoughtful planning, and small conveniences that turn a business trip or vacation into something worthwhile and enjoyable. When looking for improvements, a great place to start is with your luggage. It's literally holding everything together on your trip, so make sure it's lightweight but durable and full of small innovations and features that make your travel smoother. Introducing Away, the perfect suitcase, thoughtfully designed, durable, with features to keep you organized and on the go. I got to christen my new Away bags on a long two-leg flight with a layover in San Francisco. Getting in and out of the airport was a breeze because the four 360-degree wheels glide effortlessly. Even my five-year-old was able to push the bags around with ease. Mine also has a built-in charger, so I'm not always hunting for an outlet, and it has locks that the TSA won't question. Plus, I know that Away will fix or replace my suitcase ASAP if anything breaks. So find out what your luggage should be. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/1865 and use promo code 1865 during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/1865, promo code 1865 for $20 off your next best suitcase.
Among discerning, reasonable people, the question must be asked, why has Andrew Johnson not publicly announced his plans for Reconstruction? Perhaps he is waiting for marching orders from the very man with whom he colluded to secure the office of the president, Jefferson Davis.
You think if Lincoln was sitting in the White House, those vultures in the press would do him this way? It's not fair the way they treat me, Wells. I don't think any other president in the history of our country has been treated this unfairly.
Oh, there's more, sir. The Union be damned, President Johnson is concerned with one thing and one thing alone. His popularity below the Mason-Dixon.
Popularity? Hell, back when I was a senator in Tennessee, I spoke out against secession, for God's sake. Doesn't that count for something?
It does in my book, sir.
People down south threw rocks at me, Wells. My own people called me Andy the Toad.
Mr. President, if you don't announce a Reconstruction plan, and soon they'll call you worse than that.
I promised I'd wait for the tribunal to conclude before moving forward.
Stanton's tribunal is a Trojan horse, Mr. President.
And what's waiting inside?
Negro suffrage. If Stanton succeeds in proving this conspiracy, you will not be able to pardon the South. Not Davis, not the Confederate generals, and not the plantation owners. If they're not readmitted to the government, and soon, the black vote will become the law of the land, and if that happens, you will never see a second term.
What do you suggest I do?
Fire him, sir. Do it now before the tribunal is announced publicly. Once it's underway, you will not be able to interfere.
No.
Mr. President, if this tribunal succeeds...
I made Stanton a promise, Wells. I can't go back on it now.
Why? What does he have on you, Mr. President?
I have to let this tribunal run its course. Let's leave it at that.
Perhaps there's another way, sir. I understand you're in a very precarious position on the subject of amnesty.
I'm between a rock and a hard place is what I am. I push too hard on amnesty, I alienate the North. If I don't push hard enough, the South will burn me at the stake.
Then reach across the aisle, sir. Strike a compromise with the opposition.
The radical Republicans don't want a compromise on amnesty.
But the moderates will. If we capture their support, you won't need the radicals at all.
What about Mars? I don't think he's interested in a compromise either.
I suggest we deliver Edwin Stanton a Trojan horse of our own.
Tell me the truth now, gentlemen. What do you think of my suit?
A handsome suit, expertly tailored.
Thank you, Mr. Wells. Mr. Langston?
It's a fine suit, Mr. President.
I'm not so sure. Something just ain't right about it. Stanton, what do you think?
I don't... A suit is a suit to me, sir.
Yes, but what do you think? What's your opinion of it?
I have no opinion.
That's a first.
Mr. Langston, did you know tailoring is one of the world's oldest professions?
I suppose that stands to reason.
Tailors have been there from the very beginning of time, cutting and sewing and hemming the way to civilization.
Sir, why are we talking about tailoring?
We are talking about tailoring, Mr. Stanton, because you are talking to a tailor. You know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Hell, my parents couldn't read. They didn't have a pot to piss in, save a ramshackle log cabin my daddy built with his bare hands. After he died, my mother sold me and my brother into indentured servitude. And I'll tell you something, Mr. Langston. Slavery's hard, there's no doubt. But indentured servitude ain't no walk in the park, neither. I ran away as fast as I could, and I never looked back. See... When my father died, I was very young, and my only memory of him is the suit he was wearing the last time I saw him. Strange thing to remember, I guess. But ever since, I've been working my fingers to the bone trying to recreate that suit. While other kids were outside in the creek, I was inside fussing with my mama's sewing kit, learning the art of the tailor. I taught myself how to read and write. By the time I was 17, I opened my first tailor shop. By the time I was 22, I was the mayor of Greenville, Tennessee. And look at me now. Sitting here in the White House, the most powerful man in America.
Mr. President.
Now, if there's one thing I've learned from all my years as a tailor, it's this. When something ain't right, it's always best to make an alteration. Secretary Wells?
Thank you, sir, for that lovely introduction. In the end, the debate between us on the issue of Reconstruction always comes back to this. How will we treat the South? With leniency or punishment?
You know where Mr. Langston and I stand.
Perhaps we can meet in the middle. Mr. Langston, would you do the honors?
I do solemnly swear, in presence of Almighty God, that I will henceforth faithfully support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Union of the States thereunder.
A loyalty oath.
Any Southerner who signs this will receive a full pardon.
And their lands?
A full pardon, Mr. Stanton. That includes the restoration of confiscated lands.
Mr. President, I have in my hand a directive from General Howard. This order will initiate the process of resettling the freedmen. The Bureau is ready, sir. All we require now is your signature.
Tell him the rest, Wells.
The President and I have identified certain classes of individuals who will be exempt from pardon. Confederate officers, government officials, plantation owners, and the like. Their lands will belong to the Bureau.
How does that sit with you, Mr. Langston?
Mr. President, with respect to the intentions of your proposal...
There is a provision here that grants you the right to pardon persons belonging to the accepted classes.
That's right.
In fact, unless I am mistaken, this document says you have the authority to pardon whomever you like.
The President and I both feel pardons should be liberally extended when warranted.
Then this isn't a compromise at all. It gives you carte blanche, no matter the results of my tribunal.
It's a good deal, Stanton. A good deal for the poor whites, a good deal for the freedmen, and a good deal for you.
I'd like a moment, sir.
Gentlemen, give us the room.
Mr. President.
Mr. Langston?
Yes?
Leave General Howard's directive on the President's desk, please.
Of course. Mr. President?
We had a deal, sir.
Don't get your dander up, Stanton. This is a mighty fine compromise. The moderate Republicans will like it. The Democrats will like it. Hell, when Secretary Seward wakes up, he'll like it too. Frankly, I'm surprised you don't.
What's to stop you from abusing your powers of pardon? What's to stop you from denying the freedmen their land?
In truth, nothing.
Then we don't have a deal.
You and I are something of an arranged marriage, Stanton. I didn't choose you, and you didn't choose me. John Wilkes Booth thrust us together when he pulled the trigger on that baby Derringer of his. Any successful marriage, as Mrs. Johnson likes to say, is built on two pillars, trust and love. Now, concede love's out the window between you and me, but I still have hope for trust. Mrs. Johnson says the best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them. Will you trust me?
What do you suppose Mrs. Johnson will say about trust when I tell her about Ella Starr?
I beg your pardon?
Mrs. Stanton likes to say trust takes years to build, moments to shatter, and a lifetime to repair. I'm sure Mrs. Johnson would agree.
I don't like the turn this conversation is taking.
Neither will your wife, to say nothing of the press.
I wasn't born in the woods to be scared by an owl, Stanton. You blow on me to the press, I reckon I'll just deny it. Write it off as bogus news.
You might be able to spin a yarn to the press to stave off your ruin. You might even be able to concoct some fabrication to preserve your marriage. But when I tell the Attorney General you asked me to obstruct my investigation into John Wilkes Booth on your behalf, there's not a lie in the world that will save your presidency.
Well, ain't you a Lulu?
I've not been clear with you, Mr. President, so let me be clear now. You will not send this proposal to the Attorney General. You will not move forward with amnesty in any form until I say otherwise. You will do precisely nothing. Are we clear? Say it, so I know you understand. Are we clear?
We're clear.
Good. Now sign the directive. Thank you, Mr. President.
What am I supposed to tell Wells?
Tell him whatever you like.
I need a legitimate reason for not moving forward. Otherwise, it'll raise suspicion in him.
The cabinet's divided on this issue. It's split right down the middle. Everyone's made their views known but Mr. Seward. Tell Wells you'd like to afford your Secretary of State the opportunity to voice his opinion.
Fine.
I know you don't see it this way right now, Mr. President, but I am trying to protect you.
You've got a peculiar way of showing it.
Well, you just have to trust me.
Well?
The President will not be sending the order to the Attorney General. He wants to wait for Secretary Seward to weigh in before moving forward.
Is that what he wants?
Yes.
Or is that what you've convinced him he wants?
Mr. Wells, when Secretary Seward wakes
up... If he wakes up.
Yes, God willing. At that time, the President will make his decision. If you have a better course of action to propose, go propose it.
What do you have on him? I know you have something, only I don't know what.
Good day, Mr. Wells.
He changed his mind?
Yes.
Just like that?
Just like that.
What did you say to him?
Mr. Langston, no matter how desperately Wells may try to load the pistol of leniency, neither he nor President Johnson are in a position to pull the trigger. I assure you. Oh, nearly forgot. Here.
What's this?
You wanted the President's signature? Now you have it. Let General Howard know the good news. I'll send word to the provisional governors right away. There's a famine coming, Mr. Langston. Let's get those freedmen settled.
Wells is right, isn't he? You have something on him.
Suffice it to say, when it comes to swallowing down the poison, you and I aren't the only ones drinking from the vial. Come in.
The doctor's here to see you, sir.
Is that today?
Apparently so. Shall I turn him away?
No, no, send him in.
Mr. Stanton.
Come in, doctor, come in.
Forgive me, I'm behind my time.
No. I'm the one who should be apologizing for making you meet me here. I would have come to your office, but as you can imagine, I've quite a lot on my plate.
My pleasure.
Thank you for accommodating me.
Thank your wife, sir. She is a very persistent woman.
Yes, that is one way to put it. I'm hoping this will put her fears to rest. Where do you want me?
Have a seat, wherever you like. I'd like to begin by asking you a few simple questions to establish a baseline for your treatment.
Yes, of course.
How are you feeling?
Never better.
Your wife says otherwise.
Yeah, my wife is a worrywart. I'm perfectly fine.
Your medical records tell a different story, too.
The fits come and go. Some are worse than others. But on the whole, I'm getting better every day.
Your wife says the coughing fits are as violent as they've ever been. It's important you answer honestly, Mr. Stanton. Are the fits getting worse?
Yes.
Are you sleeping through the night?
I've never slept through the night.
Do you have any cats?
No, I do not have any cats.
Feather pillow?
No, no.
How often does your wife douse?
Incessantly.
How regular are your bowel movements? It's a relevant question.
Yes, I'm aware. You doctors are obsessed with my regularity. Do you know how many enemas I've had in my lifetime?
Mr. Stanton.
You're the doctor. You tell me. How is an enema meant to remedy my breathing condition?
As I said, I'm only trying to establish a baseline for your treatment.
I've sat with men like you my entire life. I've answered these exact same questions more times than I have fingers to count on, a memory to hold. My wife sent you my records?
Yes.
Then read them.
I have read them.
Then why are you wasting my time? Call on me when you have something useful to offer.
Mr. Stanton, your wife called on me because I've devoted my life's work to the study of your condition. In all my years, I've rarely seen a case as severe as yours. If left untreated, your condition will kill you.
Come in.
Mr. Stanton, a message for you, sir.
What does it say?
It's confidential, sir, for your eyes only.
I'll take my leave, Mr. Stanton.
Doctor, may I call on you in a few days' time? I'd like to discuss my alternatives.
You know where to find me. I'll see myself out. Gentlemen.
The note.
Here you are, sir.
Who delivered this?
Mr. Bell, moments ago.
Mr. Stanton, per your request, I'm writing you confidentially with a report on the condition of Mr. Seward. Send an armed detail to Seward's home. No one gets in or out without my permission, especially President Johnson.
Yes, sir.
And bring my carriage round straight away. I need to get over there before Johnson catches wind of this.
Catches wind of what?
Seward is awake.
'65 is an Airship production, starring Jeremy Schwartz as Edwin Stanton. Also featuring Lindsey Graham, Ian Ferguson, J. Michael Tatum, R. Bruce Elliott, William Jackson Harper, and David Coffey. Created by Stephen Walters and Eric Archilla. Directed by Robert McCullum. Written by Stephen Walters. Executive producer, Lindsey Graham. Co-executive producers, Eric Archilla, Robert McCullum, and Stephen Walters. Music and sound design by Lindsey Graham. To find out more about 1865, go to 1865podcast.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter at 1865podcast. And if you're a fan of the show, please consider supporting us. Become a patron at patreon.com/1865podcast. New episodes air weekly. And look for special inside-the-episode interviews with the writers and producers of the series to find out more about the real history behind 1865.